Hi, welcome to Planet Shakers and Friends. We have a great friend of Planet Shakers today, Cindy Jacobs. Cindy is an author, she's a speaker, a teacher with a heart for discipling nations in the area of prayer and prophetic. Her and her husband, Mike, who have been married for 41 years, co-founded God's Generals International in 1995, and also has been a Planet Shakers two times now, and she is a great friend and family of Planet Shakers. So why don't you welcome Cindy Jacobs to Friends at Planet Shakers today. Welcome, Cindy. Good to see you.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So it's crazy times, right? We're living in crazy times. What's happening in your world?
Well, I'm talking to you from Dallas, Texas. And, you know, of course, people wear a mask, you know, if they're going into a store or something. But I just flew to California to two cities, and then I just went to Arizona a couple of days ago. I'm getting ready to go to LA. And so, you know, things are not shut down here at all. Right. I was surprised to hear how shut down you are still.
Yeah, we're shut down. I think all the Australians living in Melbourne want to move to America right now. So we're going to talk about what God's doing on the earth in just a moment, but Generals International, can you tell us how that started, what you're doing with that around the world? I serve on a committee with you, and what your impact and your reach is pretty amazing. So can you tell the people about that?
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for asking. I had a real visitation from the Lord. I was asking the Lord, how did the U.S. become such a mess, basically? And the Lord told me that Satan had a strategy for our nation, that and God's people didn't have a strategy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I should have known that, but I don't know. It was just really surprised that we needed to also engage our nations. And, of course, now that was, you see, that was like 84. And so now a lot of people understand that more, you know, that we're called to make disciples of nations and things. But back in the day, that was pretty radical. And then we started gathering major leaders from different prayer ministries here. At that time, it was Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, just across the board, many, many ministries came together, and they were quite diverse. And but we began to pray for the nation. And I also, then I wrote a book, Possessing the Gates of the Enemy, on intercession. Yep. I could only find one book of intercession at that time anywhere to buy. Yep. And very few churches had prayer leaders. And so now it's pretty common. A lot of churches do have intercessory meetings, prayer meetings. And so it's now in 30 languages, started prayer literally all over the world. And in the U.S., we have a 50-state prayer network.
Wow.
And I'm connected to them on WhatsApp. So they're very busy, very busy. I don't know if you say busy beavers there. Yep. You know, we have some common roots there, but we say busy beavers.
Yeah.
So they're praying. They're going to the place where there's riots. I don't know if you've probably seen on the news. It's so interesting. I'm sure it's kind of what you experienced too, because most of the nation is quite calm and peaceful. But then you have cities like Portland, Seattle, and different places that are in riots. Yeah. And so the truth is, we do need racial reconciliation. You know, I mean, there is a real true message. But then we have some communist elements and Antifa that are coming in that are radicalizing people and kind of stealing the message.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of things going on over here. So we're sending our prayer generals, you know, and then we have elections. And so we're getting ready to have 40 days of prayer walking, especially what we call swing states, where if these states, you know, vote a certain way, then the election goes a certain way.
Yeah.
And so we're right now in our Republican National Convention. And so we've had our intercessors on site. It's very interesting. They've been praying and circling the buildings, you know, where the conventions are, and the peace, level of peace, has just started descending.
Wow.
So we're on the point over here.
So for people listening, you know, for you and I, prayer and intercession is a common thing that we all live by and talk about. What's the importance of prayer and intercession to shift things? And can you give some examples of how that's happened around the world? I think you told me one time about all these prayer groups that you set up in LA and the shift that was happening in there.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Well, for instance, there was this group, Occupy Wall Street. I don't know what kind of news you get over there, but they were taking over all this land instead of in front of Wall Street in New York. Yeah. We sent our prayer troops in there, and the next day, the police came and cleared it out. Wow. I mean, they just cleared everybody out the next day.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing that. And then, you know, I'm a prophet, and so it's really great because I'll get a prophetic word on how something can be changed and what to do about it.
Yeah.
And so the mix of, you know, prayer and the prophetic intercession really, really works. Yeah. And another time I was in Brazil, and there's this worship leader, Ana Paula Valadana. She had like 18,000 in her little by invitation conference. And the Lord spoke to me that there was a principality of corruption and anarchy over Brazil. And so we began to worship, and I said, let's worship. And at a certain point, the Lord said to me, and don't do this at home, by the way, but the Lord said to me, bind and pull down the principality of corruption. After that, I tell you, the president was put out of office. Many corrupt officials were found. People started marching the streets against that.
Wow.
And more than 1 million people watched that prophecy.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's the wonderful thing is I gave that word, but we had this whole worship army behind us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To make it happen. You know, we pushed back the darkness over the nation. So it, you know, it's not only interceding, but getting the word of the Lord. What is that breaker?
Yeah.
And you understand this really well, Russell. What's going to break it open? In fact, right now, the Lord has told us that worship is a big key to pushing back the darkness over our elections. And I just mobilized a good friend. You'd know his name if I told you of another worship movement in America. I said, how about 40 days of worship?
Yeah.
You know, there's this song, I Raise a Hallelujah. I don't know if you've heard of it because I know we only sing Planet Shakers. but
in the presence of my enemies. But, that's the song, right?
Yeah, this was a prophetic song written by one of their worship leaders when a two-year-old child, son, a child of one of the worship leaders was very ill to death.
Wow.
And this, he just started singing out. There was a giant. He saw a giant strong man in front of him. He started singing that against that giant.
Wow.
And so the Lord has shown us we're going to take that song and battle with it against the strong men over America of anarchy and communism for 40 days. Just blast that.
Yeah.
And this is what the Lord is showing me, that God is going to use Planet Shakers. I know this may sound funny, but as a battle axe and a weapon of war to break down strongholds that are trying to overtake Australia. The Lord showed me that Satan has some hidden factions that are anarchists and so forth that have been in various places in the nation and that the worship is going to like cause the darkness to flee and people to really see that people are asleep. Some have gone asleep because of COVID or fear, but God is calling you to wake up the nation. You are awakeners for an awakening.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
I think that's amazing. There's a song we've actually written, and one of the lines is, let the churches be filled again. And we're actually going to release it as a single on our new coming album out. So by the way, Raise a Hallelujah, I have this worship set on Spotify that I call Breakthrough, and I actually have that on there. In challenging times, it's been a great encouragement to me that you step in there and you walk in the victory. You know, I love it that you're talking about the prophetic word and then you back it up with prayer. You know, it's like Jesus says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And really, like, the word of the Lord is like a key that unlocks places around the world. And, I think that this season... I just preached a sermon called Flood Your Heart with Light. And we got so much darkness and so much fear attached to it. And it's getting that word of the Lord for the moment and then adding prayer to it. One of the things I love about you is your courage. You know, we're in a season right now there is a lot of fear. Never have I seen fear attached to anything in my life like it is right now. What would you say about that and how to deal with fear?
You know, one thing, let me say, quote a little biblical story. I was praying recently, you know, for our nation till about 3 a.m. for elections. And, you know, frankly, between the COVID and all that, I'm going to confess to you, you know, James 5:16, confess your faults. Yeah. And I'm going to confess, I was just feeling down, you know, it was like, yeah. Oh, we're losing the nation and yeah. All these cities are burning. And,
yeah.
And the Lord spoke to me, I have 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal.
Yeah.
And he said, Cindy, I have a remnant. Now, let me prophesy this over Australia, too.
Yeah.
I have a remnant that have the breaker anointing. I have a remnant that will break off this cloud of darkness coming over Australia. And not only, you know, this COVID, not only has, you know, Satan wanted to use it to make people sick, but prisoners of your emotions.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the Lord showed me from there. He said, now, Elijah had a great victory against Jezebel. Now, one thing that Jezebel does is cause a natural panic. That spirit of Jezebel, yeah. You know, we talk about a demonic name, ruler that's taken the name of Jezebel from the Bible is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And when Jezebel said to the prophet Elijah, I'm going to kill you, and he ran, the Lord said to me, so strong, it just rang in my heart. He said, if Elijah had not run, under the face of great pressure, he would have had the whole nation.
Wow.
In other words, he was a hero. This yeah. one woman, this yes. demon
yeah.
manifested and said, I'm going to kill you. And he ran. And the Lord said to me, I want to say to those who are watching right now, when the enemy tries to shut your mouth or tell you you're going down, or, you know, or you're going to be destroyed, don't run from Jezebel. Don't run from Jesse.
Yeah.
You know, you have got to stand up and say, I refuse to be moved. I refuse to be depressed. I refuse my emotions to rule me. We are to rule over our emotions through the name of Jesus, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Those imaginations are not to rule over us. In fact, I want to say to those listening and watching, I'm going to pray for you right now, but I literally can see demons running from your mind, from around your mind, from around your emotion, trying to oppress you and trying to cause you to feel hopeless. And I just bind that Jezebel yes. spirit. I bind the powers of depression and fear. And I felt something break. Now, listen. I remember I was doing a corporate deliverance meeting for 3,000 pastors in the revival in Argentina. And people were saying, aren't you afraid to do that? Like, when a 3,000 people start manifesting? I said, they're not going to manifest. I have authority over that, good. You know, and nobody manifested. Wow. They got delivered. It was really good. God changed the city. So I'm saying this over you. You can say, Cindy, why could you make such such a strong statement? I'm going to say to you, listen to me. You just got the victory.
Yeah.
You just got the victory. Now you stand in it.
Yeah.
You stand in it. You are not alone. God has 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. You are not the only one. And, you know, even at the times, this is what the Lord shows me, that Satan wants to take advantage, even governmentally. You know, we're talking about Melbourne or some of the cities like that, you know, trying to take advantage of your condition so he can change things in the government.
Yeah.
We have a guy here who wrote a book, Saul Alinsky, and he was a Marxist, really. And what he said is never waste a good crisis.
Yeah.
What he said was wait till a crisis came and then he would change everything. Well, the Bible, if you remember how the Bible said, I think it said Daniel 7, where Satan tried to wear out the saints, and that in that passage it means emotionally distressed. It's a mental thing. Wow. And this so he could change the times and the seasons and the law. So wow. What happens is, let me speak to you, in the middle of, you know, God was using you, I could feel a great revival coming over the nation. And then what happened? COVID happened.
Yeah.
But God is greater in you.
Yeah.
You make a choice. This is actually a test. The Lord had me start teaching on the crucible of God 2 years ago. I thought, yeah, this is a popular message. Everybody loves to hear about refining. Oh, yeah. And the worst thing is it, and Pastor Russell knows this, before you preach on it, you got to live it, right? Okay. Oh, no. I'm going to preach on the crucible. I'm going to go through it first. And I did, you know, I mean, just all kinds of things started happening, started hitting my emotions. But I went through a season of purifying.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then so I could teach that message. So we are in a time, yes, Satan is doing things, but God is also doing things.
Yeah.
And he said, look, there is an awakening. We just don't see the full manifestation, but there are awakening fires all over the world. I'm telling you, in America, we're seeing great awakening fires, great, great moves of God. Oh, these young pastors are calling me, my church. Of course, we can have church here, but my church is full and many, many people are getting saved. You know, well, it depends on what state you're in. But many states, there's a great opening and people are so open to the Lord. This is the greatest time to evangelize. This is the greatest time to tell your friends about Jesus, about Jesus Christ and be the hope bringer. But God is looking for who he can use in this move of God.
Yeah.
And if you can't stand this, you know, the Bible has this interesting scripture. If you run with the footmen and are wearied, what will you do in the flooding of the Jordan? And the analogy is, you know, like if you can't stand COVID, how are you going to change your whole nation? You know, how are you going to come to your destiny? Yeah. And the Lord says unto me, yeah, I think you'll like this, Pastor Russell. The Lord said to me, Cindy Jacobs, I want you to grow into your skin. And I thought, well, what does that mean? Well, yeah, I understand. Yesterday I was 69. You're supposed to say, you're looking good, girl.
Yeah.
But yesterday I was 69. No Botox, nothing.
I thought you were 40.
No
actually.
Filter. Oh, you're just a baby still. Anyway, I'm very mature in the Lord, but I remember those days. But, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? Am I just going to be some almost 70-year-old? And the Lord reminded me, there's several things you have dreamed of for 30 years and you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And he said, are you going to be a settler? Are you going to be a pioneer? I think I was talking about some of that, right? That you're a pioneer and Planet Shakers last time I was with you.
Yeah.
Well, since that time, we now are looking at new property. We fly out this week to make a sizzle reel for a new show that we're going to prophesy to the lost, you know, and so we're getting ready and we're going to spin it to Netflix or some major production houses here.
Yeah.
And not a Christian show. We've had a Christian show forever, but this is one where we're going to talk to lost, very famous people.
Yeah.
And some of it we may have to bleep out a little because I don't know, you know, when Pastor Russell, you might have had this when you prophesy over an unbeliever, they might go, oh, blank, you know, this shocks them so much, when the word of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm running on here. Did you have any other questions for me?
No. I've got a lot more. I felt the Lord speak to us this year about it's a year of acceleration. And I began to look at that, and momentum is an acceleration. You can grow a church through momentum, but divine acceleration comes out of loss. Ruth lost and created a Boaz. Boaz came along, divine acceleration. Joseph's in prison, he's lost, he's in prison, but there comes divine acceleration. And I felt the Lord say that we were going to step into a season of acceleration. When I first got it, I thought I saw it totally different because COVID wasn't happening. COVID definitely has accelerated things on the earth, that's for sure. I wouldn't call it divine, but out of that, divine can come. And you think about Moses goes to Pharaoh and they get free in a day. Jesus goes to the cross and everything gets changed in 3 days. And so that's what I'm feeling prophetically at this moment.
It's a suddenly time.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. And I think, you know, that scripture in Timothy, it says, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I think prayer accesses the power of God more than most things do. Love, obviously, the same. We're motivated out of love. The big challenge, I think, when you're a soldier is getting wisdom for the battle and sound mind, getting wisdom. As I've looked at you over the years, you work with high up government officials, kings, business leaders, church leaders in all communities, not just one of the things you've got here is the Generals International is about reconciliation and transformation. So here is Cindy Jacobs, a fireball, been in the presence of God, got a word from the Lord, but she needs wisdom and how to release that, right? How would you do that in this season, you know, or any season? How do you do that with government officials, with people of great influence all around the world? I know in Africa, in South America, in America, in Asia, there are all these global governmental leaders that you're having impact in. I know in England, the same. You've got business people. We've talked about people that you're influencing there. How do you approach that?
That's a really good question. You know, I think the thing, because when you're with somebody, you know, you don't have time many times to go away. So let me pray 3 days and I'll fast. They want to answer and they need it now. In fact, during this COVID time, I've been on Zoom calls with presidents of countries and grappling with and senators, congresspeople. I think I've learned to access the word of wisdom. Yeah. You know, that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just natural wisdom. It's not just wisdom I've acquired because I'm 69 now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like all of a sudden I can literally feel 1 second I don't know what to say and the next, boom.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what you need to do. It's like I'll see a nation or a person and I'll see all the pieces.
Yeah.
Even on small things like a friend of mine called, he said, I'm buying a piece of property. And this guy, he's been given a bigger offer, more, you know, larger offer. We're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars. Yeah. And he wants me to come up with another 100,000, you know, the seller. And because we can close quicker. I said, stay the course. Don't offer it to him. And he actually went and he said, I have a prophet that I talk to. You're getting this. This is talking to a secular business guy, a Christian guy, said, I have a prophet that told me I'm not to do that, but this is my final offer. He got it. Saved him $100,000.
Wow.
And Pastor Russell, it's not that I don't feel the pressure sometimes. I do. You know what I mean? I mean, it just, these are important decisions. I just had one recently, somebody called me. He's a chief of police in a very volatile country. I prophesied that he would be the chief of the police and he'd be protected. Well, 50 bullets were shot at him the other day.
Wow.
And his buddy, that was his one of his bodyguards, was killed. He took 3 bullets to his body. Wow. But he's making massive change.
Yeah.
And his family, I'm on the phone with 5 members of a Zoom call. Yeah. And they're saying, look, we feel he needs to resign.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm taking in the natural what I'm going to say, this man's life.
Yeah.
And even since I gave him certain counsel, he's had a lot more. But part of it that I learned, you know, different of the translation talked about the gifts of the Spirit. One of them says there's differences of administrations.
Yeah.
And so the Holy Spirit is the best strategist on the earth.
Yes.
And so, and I know you've done this too, Russell. I mean, I've watched you do this where you click into that with leaders and you know how to do that. I've watched you access that, you know, and say, okay, this is the strategy. Well, when you do get before the Lord and you're operating, you know, the Holy Spirit, it's like he'll say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, do this, and then this will happen, then this will happen, and then this will happen.
Yeah.
And so, you know what, but all of you watching, listen, this isn't just for me. This isn't just for Pastor. This is for all of us.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is in you. And, you know, you just can learn to be more adept at it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just start. You just start saying, okay, Holy Spirit, show me what to do in this situation.
Yeah.
And because that word of wisdom, that's available to us.
Yeah.
Just like a word of knowledge, some supernatural knowledge. And I really went after it. I wrote my name by these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know. I know theologians are all over in the map about the gifts of God. Some of them think you're born with it. Some of them think you can acquire it. I didn't know any theologians. I was a Baptist girl reading the Bible, okay?
Yeah.
So I wrote my name, gifts of, you know, word of wisdom. Cindy Jacobs has that. Word of knowledge. Yes. Cindy Jacobs has that. I mean, tongue and interpretation.
Yeah.
I went after interpretation of tongues. You know, I thought, well, that's a gift. I want it.
Yeah.
And one day somebody spoke in tongues and I just understood everything they said.
Wow.
I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
1 minute I didn't have it, the next I got it. But I think part of it, Russell, is being fervent.
Yeah.
You know, not living a boring life. It's like for you, one thing I love about you and Planet Shakers in general is you're always going for the more.
Yeah.
You know, you're not content with how you operated yesterday or what went on or even the worship experience. You want the more, but it's for everybody. It's for all of you.
Yeah, no, true. I think God is very like a father. He says, you have not because you ask not. And I think one of the great things is if we ask for wisdom, he'll give us wisdom. Interesting when you're talking about Elijah, I actually preached a sermon called Come Out of the Cave. And it is amazing that even though Elijah was intimidated and he shouldn't run, on the way out, he found Elisha and he found the person who would take down Jezebel. And I just think that when people have a revelation, you know, you think of Joseph, he had a word of knowledge, what was going on, prophetic insight, and then he had a word of wisdom and how to outwork it. And I think in these days, we need wisdom to how to tap into a whole nother level. And, you know, I don't think in my life, it's a journey of learning. I didn't get everything perfect along the way, but at least I had a go. And every time I had a go, I understood God's voice better. And I think people want to get everything perfect every time. And if you live like that, you won't do anything. I actually love what Ben Carson said. Dr. Ben Carson, he's a neurosurgeon there in America, right? And he's the head of the housing or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Urban development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a brilliant man. And I saw this interview with him and he said, life is full of risks. They're calculated risks, but they're full of risks. You drive a car, you take a risk. You go in the ocean, you take a risk. You get up in the morning, you take a risk. We're not designed to just lay in bed or stay home. God never created us to be isolated. He created us to be wise in our risks. But you know, I think it's the same with the Spirit of God. God says, come on, you might not have it all. You don't see everything clearly. I'll show you as you get up. The more clear it becomes.
Well, like Elisha, you know, Elijah came up and said, come follow me right now. And he was saying, well, you know, kind of demurred. And Elijah said, forget it, you know. But then immediately Elisha, you know, made a bonfire of the ox's horn, yokes. And then Jehu. Listen, of course, even though Jehu was already a charioteer and very famous, he didn't have to ride like Jehu. Like, you know, we call that. In fact, our young people that are with some of my buddies, like Lou Engle, I don't know if you heard of Lou, but he had the call. And, you know, a lot of that young generation, Generation Z especially, they're going, are you willing to ride like Jehu? You know, are you willing to run for the mark? And that's a real... I don't know, I wouldn't say buzzword, but, you know, phrase that a lot of the young people are getting challenged with right now.
Yeah.
You know, come on, he had to get in his chariot and go for it. he couldn't say, well, when they come bring me the crown, then, you know, I'll be the head. You know, yeah. He had to get in that chariot and ride.
Yeah.
So it's true. You do have to do something.
Yeah. One of the things at Planet Shakers, we just don't get people because it's, you know, that person's popular or that person is cool. We actually look for people with authority because people of authority shift things. And so Sam was going through and trying to find who is powerful women on the earth, and there's more rising up. And she goes, oh, I've got to get Cindy Jacobs. And so we invited you and you came. What was your first impressions of Planet Shakers when you experienced?
Honestly, it was wow. I mean, I have been with, I've spoken to more than 100 nations, so I have a little frame of reference.
Yes.
Just what I love was the total celebration, but yet the consecration and the whole, this, just the love in Jesus, just no performance.
Yeah.
Just loving the Lord. I mean, I feel the presence of the Lord when I'm telling you this.
Yeah, me too.
Russell, it's just, I just loving the Lord. And I think that there's a lot of wonderful worship movements, even more so now. Yeah. You know, we have here in Dallas, the Upper Room. They're doing a great job. Yeah. The pastor lives near me, in fact, you know, and, but I think that you've been forerunners in that. Just, can we be wild and dance like David and still just bow before the throne?
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that to this day about who you are. And I'm thankful for you.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for what you've done.
Well, we're thankful for you because it's like, and I say this, and all our friends are like this. It's like when Mary and Elizabeth meet and their wombs leap and there's something in the spirit that you connect with and what you release. I remember you prophesied over Pastor Neil about going to nations, and we weren't doing what we're doing with nations right then. And now what we're doing is just crazy. Something very exciting that we're doing because we're very limited here right now, but we've set up feeding centres in the city of Melbourne. And we've set up these first class, like almost little shopping places that people, we don't give handouts, we give them the opportunity to shop because we want them to be honoured. And we used to feed people 200 families a week. Now it's 2,600 families a week. And it's sad because the need is more. But what happened is, I said, the word of the Lord is powerful because, you know, a year before I said, I believe we're going to feed 2,000 people a week. I had no idea. And Neil is in charge of making sure that all happens. And he's like, okay, how are we going to make this happen? And we went from 200 to 2,600 and still growing. But what's happening in the feeding centers, we run online church. So we're having salvation altar calls as we feed people. And so I just think when you have a prophetic word and God gives you that word of breakthrough, I think one of the big things at the moment is, do people really know who they are or what the church is? I think, you know, Jesus said, on this revelation, I'll build my church, the revelation of Jesus. And I think right now across the earth that God is revealing who Jesus is. What pressure does is reveal what you actually believe. And and I love what you said. I don't love it because I don't like trials and tribulations, but in the flesh, but I do love it in the sense that as Christians, you do go through things to prepare you, to prune you for more. Is there anything final you want to say to your Planet Shakers family and friends over here? Anything you feel on your heart to say?
Well, I just want to pray that you will have that breaker anointing.
Yeah.
And understand that who you align with, that's the anointing you get. You receive the same. It's how it works, like as the head goes down. So, Father, I do pray for that breaker anointing. Lord, I thank you, Father, this anointing to feed the poor, to do the good works, but to bring the gospel of salvation.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you that this is an anointed mixture.
Yes,
that will change the planet. And Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you guys.
Bless you. We love you. Thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you in the flesh at some stage. You are the best.
I love you. Bye, guys. God bless you.
Bless you too. See you. Bye.